In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And David danced before the ark. This is what the scriptures tell us. And if you can think for a moment about King David, the king of Israel, who comes and in front of all the people does a dance as the ark is being carried through the streets. What a remarkable picture that must have been. And the people certainly reacted well to it, but some one person did not. Because the scriptures also tell us that David's wife at that time didn't think much of what he was doing, was critical of the fact that the king would do such a thing before the Ark of the Covenant. But from that point on, we know David never returned to her. Because you see, David loved God more than anything else in the world. Absolutely central to his life. And so the idea of doing a dance before the ark was something that was so natural to him, so overwhelming to him with his joy and gratitude, that that was the only way that he could express it. And in fact, that very image of the dance before the ark is carried over into the new covenant as well, because we hear many, many hymns and poetry regarding the dancing day, the day of the Lord, where all creation dances for joy. This was a wonderful thing, something we should all keep in mind as we think actually today, again, as we find ourselves in this fall festival of the Feast of the Holy Cross, because we actually have three festivals for it. Now, last Sunday, because the cross fell on a Monday, we actually did the Feast of the Exaltation on Sunday. So we didn't celebrate the Sunday before the cross. But there is the Sunday before the exaltation itself, and the Sunday after the exaltation, which we celebrate today. And during these three festivals, we get a very clear picture of the cross of our Lord, how it begins and how it ends, and what we're to do from this point forward. For because the Sunday before the exaltation, the gospel reading speaks of Moses in the wilderness, as the Lord tells us, how Moses, when Israel was plagued by serpents, was instructed to take a serpent and raise it on high so that all the people who looked at it would be healed of any bites or any afflictions that they had because of this plague. And of course, many people think that somehow Moses fashioned a serpent and just held it up, but of course he didn't. In order to hold it up high, he took it like this and put it on a pole and raised it on high so that we had a preview, as it were, of the cross itself by which all who looked upon it would be saved. And then on the feast itself, we hear the Passion Gospel, how our Lord goes to the cross willingly, voluntarily, wanting to be there because of his great love for us. And that very intense passage that we read last week, where of course the Lord gives up his soul for our salvation. And then today, as the Sunday after the exaltation, we have the culminating gospel in all of this, where we discover that whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Those words that are the very seed of the gospel, the very seed of the things that we need to do. Because look at the very first word, whosoever, meaning anyone who would come after the Lord must deny himself, must take up his cross, and then follow him. Now, every human being in the world has a cross of one kind or the other. None of us are without them. None of us can escape this life without dealing with many, many crosses, some greater than others, some perhaps small and perhaps irritating, others that are so overwhelming to us, sometimes it seems that we can barely get through. But yet we can get through. And the way we have to do this is by embracing those crosses. So many people in the world today are upset and fearful and empty precisely because of the fact that they refuse to embrace their crosses. Instead, they fight against it. They look for alternatives to different ways of living. They look for ways of sort of contraindicating the things that have been given them. They look for ways of getting rid of the cross, covering up the cross, doing anything they can that somehow they think it's going to make things better for them. But yet it doesn't work. A few weeks ago, I spoke about some of the videos I had been watching when people go out and they talk to these protesters, pro and con, things that are going on, the things that they were saying. And I said then, and I still believe it now, that so many of these people are empty and hollow inside, that they're looking for something to fill up that emptiness. And they're not embracing their crosses at all. Again, they're trying to dispel them. They're trying to get away from them. Because as Christians, what do? Our job in life as Christians is to sacrifice ourselves for the sake of others as the Lord sacrificed himself for us. But yet what we see out there now are so many people wanting to sacrifice others for the sake of themselves. It's completely reversed in terms of what they should be doing, in terms of what that real peace that they could have would give them if they would only embrace those things that there are the crosses in their lives. Instead, they want to deal with other things. They want to look outside themselves. The problem is always other places, other things, other people. It's always something else going on that is infringing upon them instead of looking internally and seeing what the problem really is. The cross, I mean, we look at it. And if you look at it in a certain way, it almost looks like a dagger, does it? It looks like something that you could stab somebody with. And in fact, it really is. But it's a dagger of love. It's something that pierces us with the love of God. It's something that the Lord calls us to when we see him hung on the cross for all the things that we had done that he is now making right by the thing that he has done. It's something that is so absolutely necessary for all of us to look to this cross, to look at this wonderful thing that is happening to us, that the Lord has granted to us. This is very, very important for us to realize, because this is why the church presents us with these things at this time of the year. This is why he is giving us this opportunity to look at the cross, to embrace it, to take it upon ourselves, to know that we have things that we need to deal with, but by dealing with them, we are actually drawing ourselves closer to God, who has already drawn himself close to us. So let's remember these things as we venerate the cross, as we sing about the cross, as we understand what this period of time is. Because truly, through the cross, joy has come unto all the world. It's very, very important for us to take this upon ourselves, to not be fearful, to know that the Lord is here with us and that he will continue to grant us his great mercy as long as we continue to attempt to follow him. Amen.